The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to Marvel Vision, a podcast about Marvel, the MCU, and right now, Secret Invasion. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I'm Pete.
And we are going to be talking about episode 3 of Secret Invasion, Betrayed. So if you haven't checked it out yet,
I feel betrayed.
Well, we'll definitely get into general feelings and stuff in a second. But spoiler warning up top, if you haven't watched the episode on Disney Plus, please do go watch. Do go watch it. You got to do go watch. You gotta go watch it because we're gonna get full into spoilers and reactions and jump all over the place and yell at each other a lot. That's what we do on this podcast, man. That's gonna happen this time too. But to give you a brief overview, Nick Fury is fighting back against a Skrull invasion of specifically Europe. It doesn't
epic
seem to be
proportions.
Affected.
Yeah. Everybody's a Skrull.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. Pretty much, Nick Fury probably also a Skrull by the end of the series.
Oh,
I guess
come
we'll
on,
see.
Man.
No, they're all going to be like Spider-Man pointing at each other, being like, wait, you were a Skrull the entire time? I was a Skrull.
Yeah,
this is not an issue.
They're confused.
Yes. And then so anyway, he's working. He fought with Talos, but they get back together this episode. So it's fine. And they're working together to try to stop a submarine from destroying a plane for the United Nations, which will start with a world war. This is all part of Gravik, who has our big villain's plan. Yeah, exactly. Like, that's the only way of destroying a plane is from a submarine. We all know this.
And below. You got to be right below it.
You got to be directly below it. Otherwise, you can't fire.
Yeah.
100%. We're all military men. The Gravik, though, is actually trying to figure out who his traitor is. Of course, his traitor is Gia, played by Emilia Clarke, and she's dead at the end of this episode. We're getting this very cool pattern of killing main female characters once every other episode. So I expect it won't happen.
I would say that's the opposite of a cool pattern.
It's very cool because, like, now we know not to expect it in episode 4, but episode 5, probably Nick Fury's wife is going to die to motivate him. And then in the last episode, no female characters will die. So that's pretty cool. That's a cool thing, right?
And all the guys will high five. They'll be like, no girls alive.
That's what they should have called the series instead of Secret Invasion is no girls allowed.
It would make more sense because I'm not feeling Secret Invasion much.
Yes. Here. So as I mentioned, we met Nick Fury's wife. It turns out she's been working for Gravik the whole time. She's part of the
Skrull
resistance. She also is a Skrull. And we get a big hint about another not-so-secret Skrull towards the end of this episode. Other things that happen, that's pretty much it. There's other things that happen that we could probably talk about here. But I'm curious, Pete, you weren't here for episode 2.
Yep.
Just to sort of recap Justin and my feelings, I think we were, I personally liked episode 2 better than episode 1, but we still felt like there were major problems in terms of the tone and the pacing of the thing. We really wanted to like it, but it's just not quite working for us, including episode 3 now, Pete. Where are you at with this series?
Well, it's hard to like it because Nick Fury sucks at his job all of a sudden. Like, he just blows at everything that he's doing. So, plus all the death of the cool female characters is a thing that's a serious problem for this show. So, it's what to like. Also, like, man, how many... That's a very elaborate place to put a gun. There are tons of places you can put guns, but like in the bank with
at
that
the,
whole thing
at, yeah,
was
yeah.
just so
at the,
weird.
At the end, I agree. At the end of the episode.
For a gun? You go through all
Nick
that
Fury's
for
Nick Fury's wife goes to a safe deposit box and there's just a gun in there. Is it a special gun? We don't know. Doesn't seem to be.
It better be special. If that's just a lowercase g gun, then we wasted a lot of safe deposit box money.
Yeah,
for sure.
Like, send somebody a note that just says, go buy a gun. Don't like make them go to a fucking... Jeez. You know what I mean? Like, Yeah, that was such a letdown of a package reveal. I was like, it's just a gun? Yeah, I'm having a hard time. And what sucks is I love Nick Fury. Mm-hmm. Also, I love Talos. The whole dog thing was a fun bit in the car, but otherwise, I'm really worried about what this show is and what's going to happen, because so far it's three in and I'm not having a good time.
This is, episode four, they rename it to Grumpier Old Skrulls, because sort of the vibe.
Although
I'm
Grumpier
here.
Old Men, I love both those movies, so maybe this will be the turning point.
I will throw out there.
I mean, I think.
Oh, go ahead, Justin. I was going to.
No, go, go, go.
Well,
go.
All I was going to say, and no, I think we kind of said this the last two episodes as well, is the cast is still very good, you know, and they're doing the best with what they're given. The best part of the show, hands down, at least this episode in particular, is, like you were saying, Pete, Ben Mendelsohn and Samuel Jackson are good actors, and I enjoy their chemistry and them working together. I just wish the material that was written for them was better and the direction was better. And my main reaction out of this is like, I'd love to watch them on another show that is not this show.
But also, like,
well,
how
I think
dumb
that speaks
do you have to be?
Speak,
oh, sorry.
That speaks to the squandered potential that we mm-hmm. have here. The whole show is like, they aren't taking advantage of the storyline, the actors that they have here, all the stuff that's on the board in a Invasion of the Body Snatchers show set in the Marvel Universe. And instead, we're getting this sort of soap opera. It feels like it's soap opera dialogue. It's soap opera choices. They build this as like it's our Andor, and it's just so far from that. Like, the beauty of a great espionage show is that everything sort of folds in on itself, and like all the characters, we're playing the game along with the characters. And in this, we're watching people sort of shuffling around in this plot, and nothing feels like it means anything.
Also, like, it's really frustrating because these people are supposed to be spies, and clearly, you know, the one Skrull is like, okay, we got to find out who the traitor is. I'm going to say the key parts of information right in front of the one person I'm worried is the traitor. And then they're obviously going to take that information and use it so I can obviously trap them. Like, if you're a spy, why would you fall for that bait? Like, it is clear that you are being trapped and set up. Like, why would you go for that if you are any good at your job at all?
I agree with you, Pete. And I think this is something that we've talked about with the press two episodes as well, is Sam Jackson as Nick Fury is supposed to be ahead of everybody at all time. And I can forgive a old spy who is not quite at the top of his game, but 3 hours into the show, we need to have somebody on top of the game. And as viewers, we can't be ahead of everybody at all times. Like, all of these spy things that they're doing, the biggest spy thing that Nick Fury does in this episode is when Talos gets captured, he calls him and calls him Nick. And Nick Fury is like, nobody ever calls me Nick, despite the fact that multiple people have called him Nick over the course of the MCU. So that doesn't even work. But also, that's like one of the most hacky, not even spy things, but just action movie things that happens. And across the board, that's what we're getting with all of this. There's no suspense. There's no wonder. To tie into what you were saying, Justin, we should be wondering at all times who is a Skrull and who is not a Skrull. We never wait for longer than a scene to wonder who is a Skrull. Like, no. every time they introduce somebody, they're like, is that person a Skrull? Yes, they are.
Yeah. Well, and it's also crazy because it's like, I feel like they're trying to be like, well, we can't have everybody confused about who's a Skrull and who's not. So they reveal instantly. But the rest of the plot of this show is so convoluted and unnecessary. But all we need is just like, wait, what if that person's a Skrull? And Nick Fury just boiling and trying to figure it out. The idea that this could be like a buddy show with Ben Mendelsohn and Samuel Jackson being like, are we over the hill to be doing this? Because this is horror. This is fucked up. We are not capable of beating this conspiracy. And them like barely scraping by the skin of their teeth is so fun. And we just can't get there. They're so bickery and just picking on each other in a way that I just felt was like such a squandered opportunity.
Well, let me throw something out at you, and I know Pete's not going to like this point, but this is certainly something that I wondered a little bit this whole run, honestly, is like, is Sam Jackson just not like physically up to this at this point?
What?
I know you were going to get upset, but like,
Sam,
I'm trying to figure out why they have Sam Jackson, who is awesome at everything, mostly sitting on seats for the large majority of the time of every episode and otherwise just kind of hobbling around from place to place. Like, I understand he's an old man, but and it's the whole point is like he is over the hill. He says he's retired in this episode, but why did they do this? Is it because of general laziness on the part of the show, which I do think comes through, not to take a side trip here, but I do think it's all tied together. Like, the fact that I don't know why people are Skrulls wearing their Skrull face or not in any particular time. Like, Gravik and Gia are in Skrullos and they're just regular humans. Or there's plenty of times where Gravik is wandering around and he's just wearing his human face and never really wears his Skrull face at all, even though that's his whole point. His whole point is we need to be Skrulls and we need to be open about being Skrulls. The only thing I can figure out there is they're like, it's just easier to have them as humans rather than putting them through makeup all the time. So let's just have them as humans. And I think that comes across to a lot of the choices in the show are like, what's the easier thing to do production wise? Have Sam Jackson sit on a seat? Let's just do that instead of having him kick ass. And it's a bummer.
Well, I think they're also like, it's probably harder to tell all the Skrulls apart because they, you know, what are the makeup and the prosthetics, unless they really put some time and design into it, it would be like harder to like, I think, be like, oh, that's Gravik. He's in a room full of Skrulls. It's like, and I think like you're saying, Alex, this show just doesn't want to take the time to solve that creatively. Because to your larger point, I don't think it's a Samuel Jackson problem. I think it's just purely a writing story problem for this show. Because you can write around an older guy.
Yeah.
Look at so many other, like, you know,
James Bond movies,
James Bond film noir, like James Bond. What's his name? After Sean Connery, he was like Roger Moore. Barely move. There are fight scenes where he just chops.
He's like, yeah.
Well, yeah.
I'll throw out a specific opposite example. I don't know if you guys saw this one, but The Old Man on FX with Jeff Bridges. I think Jeff Bridges is about the same age as Samuel Jackson. And it's the same basic idea where it's like, it's a spy. He's out of the game. He spends most of the episode just bumbling around with his dogs until he gets, of course, sucked back in it. And it ends with this absolutely insane drag out fight. But the way that they play the fight is like, it's brutal. And the guy he's fighting is much younger than him, but he is like this dog just going at it. He just will not die the entire time. And that's a hard standard because the first episode of The Old Man is one of my favorite things I've seen in years. It's
so
phenomenal.
The first two episodes are so good.
Yes. Incredible. But at the same time, that's what we need this to be. Like, it doesn't even need to be phenomenal. It just needs to be like at the level of Captain America: The Winter Soldier or one of the better Marvel movies, the thing that we expect from Nick Fury.
Or there have been so many great spy movies where there's tension. There's, you know, like, I don't know why we're not playing it like this. I almost just want the Benny Hill music to be playing and Nick Fury to be running around going, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, because it is just, it's so upsetting. I'm really hoping there's going to be a twist here and a real shift, and we're just going to be like, oh man, that was all worth it because now this is so cool. And and the more episodes in we're getting, I'm really worried that that's not going
to
happen.
They seem to be heading in the opposite direction of everything, which is very frustrating as well, because they're playing this mystery plot of like, what is Gravik up to? And he reveals it this episode, which we already figured out the last episode, that he's creating super Skrulls to the point that he's like, we're going to be super Skrulls. We're not just going to shapeshift anymore. We're going to have superpowers. And we get to see that in this episode. Gravik has Extremis. That's how he's able to heal in the museum scene. Presumably others of them have powers. So presumably what we're heading towards is not spy antics so much as superpower fights with Nick Fury and everybody stuck in the middle. That is nowhere near as much fun to watch, particularly when you don't have superheroes, when it's just supposed to be regular humans. It's a big bummer.
Yeah. Well, let's talk positives real quick. Sure. I have two. One, I thought the moment, which I think we saw in the trailer, where the whole cafe stands up and they're all graphics. Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. That was a cool moment. Unfortunately, there's nothing much going on around it that was interesting at all. But that's what the show should be.
Can I throw out there, because I agree with you, if you poke at that too hard, it doesn't make a lot of logical sense of how that happened or why that happened. But just in terms of a moment where it's like, oh, it's not just there is a Skrull backing him up, but literally everybody in here is Skrull. Very cool. And that's the sort of, oh, I didn't see that coming, other than, as you mentioned, we saw it in every single trailer. But like, that's the sort of moment that you should be getting, similar to most of the beginning of the first episode with Martin Freeman, where you're like, is this guy who's railing on the Skrulls a Skrull, or is Martin Freeman a Skrull? Who is the Skrull here? That's what we should be wrapping our brains around the entire time. And more of those moments, please. I don't know if they're coming because they're rapidly whittling down the characters who could be Skrulls that we've even met in the first three episodes, but we need more of that.
Now, let me ask you guys something. You know, is it every person who works in a museum is a Skrull because they are these evolved species that really appreciates art? So they took all of the jobs at the museums? Or are they saying, like, there are so many Skrulls that no matter what place you go to, it's going to be mostly Skrulls working there?
I think if you're going to get any sort of job where you want to chill a little bit, like working in a museum is awesome because you just stand around a lot and you just have to know a little bit.
Yeah, but some
stuff.
People don't like to be on their feet that much. You know what I mean? Those are like hardwood floors or, you know, marble a lot of times.
If you're a Skrull, you can just change into a chair and sit down, you know?
That's the superpower I think we want them to have.
Yeah, I guess that doesn't make sense. But you could do it if you want to. They established you can turn into a filing cabinet back in Captain Marvel, so there you go.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Did you guys get very viscerally uncomfortable when Gravik was shouting in the museum? I got that made me feel, I was like, calm down, quiet down. It's a museum. Be quiet. Stop shouting. Very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that was my major complaint about the episode. Is they're not following the rules.
I didn't have any problems other than that.
Yeah. I also
positive thing I wanted to say real quick.
I've just been trying to say the same thing for like.
Okay, say it.
Yeah, just because it almost happened, so I just want to finish the thought so we can move on. Sorry, Justin. I saw Captain Marvel, so we don't need to do that Nick bit again. You know what I mean? Like. We're just like, give me some credit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I've watched everything you did, Marvel. Believe that I can retain information or something. It was just, sorry. We were talking about Captain Marvel, so I just wanted to kind of like, the fact that they did the Nick thing again was a little like, okay, sorry, Justin, go ahead.
Maybe they mean Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon.
Nick Fury Skrull.
Sounded a little bit like a haunted Nickelodeon there at the end. Justin, please go
that
ahead.
That would be fun. The other thing I was going to say that I thought was positive was like Olivia Colman. I thought it was very clumsy the way they got to her, where they're like, wait, did you say there's something leaving Britain? Let me call the only other character in the show, Olivia Colman. She's British. She'll know.
Well, and also that she seemed to completely flip from being kind of on the side of the good guys, but an antagonist in the previous two episodes, to being like, no problem, whatever information you need, Nick Fury, I'm here. I'm putting a cute little eye patch on my owl.
That was adorable.
Adorable.
I mean, it was kind of like my favorite part of the episode, where a little owl got an eye patch, where I was like, this is my only win right here, is an owl got an eye patch.
Here, Pete's going to get angry at me for saying this, but they should have killed off Nick Fury in the first episode and followed Olivia Colman's character. That would have been a better show.
That's fun.
Unfortunately, I agree with you. Okay, I don't want to agree with you, but what other, you know,
While we're talking Samuel Jackson, though, like the scene when they're in the car and they're like talking about cleaning up and they use the word poop. Mm-hmm. And then they see this, they'll say the line, "The truth is a mother dog." I was like, "What is this?" I was like, "This is your Disney Plus showing, guys. We got to be a little
You cut off a guy's fingers and tortured him the past episode. You can say a curse. It's okay. You got Sam Jackson here. Please go ahead. I'm sure there's a bunch of different takes where he cursed up a storm and they didn't use them. There were a lot of lines like that in this episode where that was clunky for entirely different reasons, but where I felt like people were saying things merely as a setup for somebody else to say a line, which I know, I understand that's how dialogue works, but it was the sort of like couplet of people saying things where the second person would say like the mother dog thing. And if you thought for one second, you'd be like, why did that first person say the first thing? That didn't make any sense for them to say that sentence out loud, where it's just a lot of the show feels written, you know, I know sounds like a stupid thing to say, but hopefully you know what I mean.
Yeah, no, like it's clunky or like sort of forced in a way where it's unmotivated, not really organic. And speaking of that, like how about the sort of background on the relationship between Fury and his wife? Mm-hmm. We get this like flashback where he's going to get lunch and meet someone, is maybe this woman. And then, but it's not the same name as his wife's name, right? It's like Vara. He's meeting Vara, and then Scylla is the name of his wife.
Priscilla is her human name. Vara is her
Skrull.
So it is the same lady.
Confusing.
So confusing. And also, what is he doing in that coffee shop in the first place? Is he doing spy stuff? Were they supposed to meet? I guess so. It was very clunky, and I think a lot of that had to do with the de-aging effect that they were applying to both of them. I imagine they just technically needed to work around stuff.
But also, like, it wasn't like cute or loving. They'd had to talk about the logistics of the idea that they would one day be in a relationship, and then they just cut to the present day. I was like, what a bummer.
Pete, say what you wanted to say, and that I have another point about this.
Yeah. So I'm really hoping, and I don't want any more female characters to die, but Nick Fury has to know his wife's playing him, right? I mean, he's basically been like away, and then when he blipped and then came back, he peaced out without any kind of saying. Like, if he really loves her, he wouldn't do that, right? I mean,
It very unclear because, and this was the point that I was going to make, is last episode, the implication seemed to be that he sees her all the time, right? The way that he comes home, he puts on the ring. She's like, oh, hey, there you are again. Put on your ring. And he's like, okay, when's dinner? And that's the cliffhanger of the episode two. And then here we find out that she's upset about it because he hasn't talked to her in 3 years. So that makes that scene at the end of episode two insane. How
very crazy
calm they are about the whole thing. It feels like the people who wrote episode two and episode three didn't talk to each other or something.
Also, the staring at her phone was kind of maddening, where I was just like, I think you don't need to check the phone. You know what just happened. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like if somebody calls you and you say like, I can't get into that right now. Like that clearly means they're standing right in front of me. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
You're talking about Nick Fury's reaction being like, sounds good, but that's most of his reaction to most of the stuff where he's like, well, not only was I never a crack spy, I literally have never seen any spy movies or TV shows, and I don't know how any of this works. This is my wife. I haven't talked to her in 3 years. Where's my runny eggs?
Yeah. But don't you think it's going to be the justification is that he's a Skrull?
It has to be, but also what are we watching at this point if he's a Skrull? Like, legit, I was joking about it earlier.
Who is he fighting if he's a Skrull? You know what I mean? Like, it's just good Skrulls versus bad Skrulls and everybody's Skrulls?
Justin, rebuttal?
Yes. Does that question specifically for me? I mean, that's the confusing part of this whole premise of this show is like, why it should be just everyone who thinks they're human versus trying to find out the Skrulls. But instead we have the Talos thing. Now, I've complained about this before, like it muddles the whole idea where it's like good Skrull. Then it's like, okay, that's like the whole idea that it's like, who's undercover as a human here? But instead, it's the flip of it. We get Gia being undercover with the Skrulls and being on the, and it's, it just like is the flip of any sort of like logical understanding of it. And she gives herself up instantly. And then is, I don't think she's actually going to be dead next episode. I think
she got shot.
I think she got shot and turned herself into a Skrull to fool him, and she's going to be alive.
I mean, that's one possibility. The other possibility, which has been heavily speculated, which I lean more toward the ends of, just because the way they executed her death is about the same as the way they've executed all the other Skrull deaths. So I think she's probably dead, but the human she was basing herself off of is still in a brain machine. So we're going to get Emilia Clarke back, but Gia is dead. I don't know. I've been reading comics for a while, so I'm good with it.
All right.
Very convenient that the brain machines, you can just walk up and Google.
Yeah, oh
my
just God.
Brain. What you
need, but what just to talk about it at a base, like whatever happens in the next episode, and again, I know I was joking about it earlier, but the fact that they ostensibly have killed off two of the main female characters, the first one to motivate Nick Fury, the second one to motivate Talis, is bad. That is a bad thing that they should not be doing and they should know better about. So we'll see how it executes the next episode with Gia, but like, stop doing that.
Also, like, so there's this, there was an interesting moment with Talos where he's saying, like, I chose you, Nick Fury, like, you're my one, you know, like, and so I thought we were going to get, and we might get this idea of like when, you know, we go to another country and we kind of get people to give us information, they're kind of ruined to their community because we've turned them, right? And so like when we kind of like peace out of that, they're kind of fucked when we leave because we were their only lifeline. And I thought that that was what we'll kind of explore this idea of like, if you have somebody that is a rat and is giving you information, if you, you know, they kind of just, so I don't know. I'm hoping they're, cause that's a better idea than what's happening. Also the phone call at the end, did anybody else think that that was Rhodey on the phone?
Yeah, it's definitely Rhodey. Okay. And I think we already speculated with episode two that Rhodey is probably a Skrull. That seems pretty obvious to me based on the way that he was treating Nick and everything. But also, if when that turns out to be true, it's a real bummer because, like we're talking about a lot here, they're running out of characters who could be Skrulls. Like, they introduced Rhodey as the one high-profile Avenger in the show. Of course he's going to turn out to be the Skrull because that's the only one you got. Versus going back to the comic book series, one of the things that mostly worked about it is you had literally any character of the Marvel Universe could be a Skrull at any point. They revealed that like Elektra was a Skrull for years. There was, I think, Spider-Woman was all, Carmen Elektra was also a Skrull separately.
Mockingbird.
Mockingbird. Mostly female characters, I guess. Also Hank Pym was a Skrull. And that you had this wide tapestry to deal with. I understand they can't have all those actors in the show, but like, it limits the concept significantly when you do something like that.
Do you think we're going to get like an oops, all Skrulls situation here? Where basically all the characters in the show are Skrulls?
I guess. What a bummer if that's what it turns out to be. I don't know. I do want to ask about something, though, that I thought was so convoluted and weird, however you think about it. So we do get this climactic scene with Talos and Nick Fury where they're trying to stop the submarine from blowing up the airplane. And they go to this guy's house, not the military base that we had previously seen the Skrulls invade, but the guy's house where he controls military submarines. And they capture his son and they try to do this trade for Talos and his son. And the guy who is a Skrull is like, oh, thank God it's my son. But it doesn't, his son seems to be human, I think.
Yeah.
So very why does confusing. He care?
I don't think the son was human.
Well, so let me throw this out to you. I think there's a couple of possibilities, right? Like, let's say he is a Skrull, and I think more interesting possibilities, not to rewrite this, but if he's a Skrull and his son is human because he's taken over this guy's life, as is supposed to happen in the show, him being like, I don't care, I'm a Skrull, kill my son, that's more emotionally palpable to deal with. Or alternately, if you are mixing it up and it turns out the son is a Skrull, reveal that so that we get this complicated and emotional tapestry of like, yeah, this guy is going to start World War III as a bad guy, but also he cares about his son, who's also a Skrull. How do we feel about that?
Wow. What about, I love both of those. What I thought was going to happen was it's going to be a flip. They were both Skrulls, but the kid was the who knew
or
the
that.
Code. And the, yeah.
Instead, they went with the weirdest, the, most boring Skrull. Possibility. Very strange.
He kills him without getting the code. I was like, this is the plan? You just shoot him dead? And then it's all like, I was like, this is, you're all bad at this.
Also, the we're not negotiating here, Bob, was a great line. That was a nice moment. I thought that was a fun Nick Fury line there.
Yeah, and that's all I need is one good line.
Yeah, that's all you're going to get. It's all you're going to get.
So we're halfway through the season here, right? What are we...
Can I throw out a couple of, like, I think you're getting into theories here. The big one, which I kind of 100% don't think will happen, but fans have been speculating pretty heavily that Daisy Johnson, a.k.a. Quake, played by Chloe Bennett, will show up. They were expecting her to show up.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
From Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Wow.
I don't think there's a world where this happens. What do you guys think?
No way. They're going to spend the idea of referencing Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. on this show. I don't think they would do that. More likely,
but what
Coulson.
About this?
What about Coulson?
Bring back Coulson and reveal he was the Skrull who died and he's actually alive. Now that's a move.
And I think the human Coulson has been the one behind all this all the time. Yeah. And he can come back and be the hero.
Absolutely. He's the hero we need, but not the one that we want right now. I don't remember how that quote goes. The other thing that I was going to mention, there was a little bit of an Easter egg. They mentioned Dracov, who's the villain in the Black Widow movie in that flashback scene. Cool.
That's sick. Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty wicked.
Sick.
Well, listen, here's the thing. As we're starting to wrap up here, we all sound pretty negative about the show. I know it's not fun to listen to a podcast where we're bummed out about a show very much. I do think, not to speak for you guys, we're still hoping that it turns around, right?
Yeah. Every time I watch it, I'm like, come on, man. Turn this thing around. We can do it. I believe in you guys.
Let's have a great episode where Nick Fury realizes he's a Skrull but didn't know it or something. And it's like a big like existential crisis episode where he has to come to terms with all this. Like there's a ton of ways to go, but I just don't know if they're capable of it when we've had three in a row that are diminishing returns.
Yes.
I just think we need more Talos doing Seinfeld bits where he's like, what's the deal with dogs? I mean, you pick it up their poop. From us aliens' perspective, it looks like they're running things over here.
Do you think Seinfeld's a Skrull?
It would explain several things that I don't want to mention out loud on a podcast. But why don't we wrap up here? Hopefully things will be more positive next week. I guess we will see. In the meantime, if you like to support this podcast and all the podcasts we do, patreon.com/comicbookclub. Also, we do a live show every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. to Facebook and YouTube. Come hang out. We would love to chat with you about Marvel stuff. Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or the app of your choice to subscribe, listen, and follow the show. At Comic Book Live on Twitter, at Marvel Vision Pod on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and many more. Until next time, stay marvelous.
Stay poop mother dog.
1 year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.